Okay, well, please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. We're in the Advent season, and so we're focusing on some Christmas themes. And this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at the Star of Bethlehem. You know, not actually looking at it like this, but looking at the Star of Bethlehem in our Bibles. And the star is an integral part of the passage that we're about to read. It's referenced four times in just 12 verses. The star is an amazing part of Christmas. It's a mysterious element, but it is also, as we go through the passage, I want you to notice how it is an essential element. Because without the star, the events that we're about to read about in Matthew 2 would not have taken place. And the wise men, they would be missing from the whole story of Christmas. So in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us this morning as we look more closely at this star and what it means and what its purpose is in our lives even today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, there are so many amazing aspects of the events that surround Christ's birth. But I think the one that's probably made its way into our decorations and into our Christmas cards and carols and nativity scenes, it showed up in the songs we were singing this morning as well, is the Star of Bethlehem. And the account of the star, we only find it right here in the Gospel of Matthew. This has fascinated Bible students and astronomers for centuries. And everybody tries to figure out, what was the star? What was this? How did this come to be? Some claim that it was a conjunction of planets. Some say it was a comet. Others say it was a supernova in the sky. So a couple of things we want to talk about this morning is, what was this star? Why is it important? And most important of all, what was God's purpose behind the Star of Bethlehem? Those are the questions we want to look at together and seek to answer as we look at these verses in Matthew 2 this morning. And as we seek to understand God's purpose for the star, it's going to be helpful for us to consider a number of things. And I've put them in the outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along in the outline. But first of all, I want us to consider the heavens. To consider the heavens. Have you ever gone outside on a clear night and just looked up and looked at all the stars up in the sky? We used to do this back in the when I was a kid. We'd go up to northern New Hampshire, right up in the Canadian border. You were so far away from any light sources, and you would look up and it was just beautiful, beautiful. The stars were just so clear, and you could see so many of them. See the Milky Way spread across the sky. It's a little harder to do that with Fort Lauderdale and Broward County lights up, isn't it? But it's beautiful. About 1,000 years before Jesus was born, King David, who actually is one of Jesus' ancestors, King David sat out under the night sky, and he wrote these words from Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. He said, "When I consider your heavens," speaking to God, "the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man, that you care for him. And David was simply awestruck by the beauty and the majesty of God's handiwork in the sky. And yet David had no conception of the vast distances and the sizes of the objects that he observed. We have so much more knowledge of the universe today, don't we? And so when we look at the heavens, we should be even more awestruck than David when we consider the wonders of this universe in which we live. You know, the Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created the galaxies and the stars, and he set them off spinning in space in astronomical precision. And the book of Genesis tells us this. It says that God gave us the stars in the sky to give light on the earth. That was one purpose, but also to serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And what that tells us is that when God created the world, he designed the universe with order. And as the ancients studied the night sky, they observed this beauty and order in the night sky. And for the most part, they found that the sky was very predictable. You know, that great star wheel would turn above the earth. Each of the stars stayed in relative position to each other. Now, the moon and the planets, they moved independently of the stars, but you could still plot their course in the sky. And then, of course, there were also surprises that would show up. You'd have meteor showers or comets or sudden flare-ups in the sky. And when that happened, people said, whoa, something different happened. Something that we have not been able to study or observe before. And so they often viewed these sudden surprises in the sky as signs or portents in the heavens. And so it was that the Magi, these were astrologers from the East, they noticed something unusual in the sky right around the time of Christ's birth. And something out of the ordinary caught their attention, and it spurred them on to make the very long journey to Jerusalem. But what I want us to remember here is this, that if God had not first created a universe of such order and precision, that this star would never have stood out to them. If there was no order to the universe, and so there was nothing regular or predictable, then this just would have been another random event in the sky. And so before we can consider the miracle of the star, we must first consider the heavens, the beautiful order of God's handiwork in the stars of the night sky. So when the Magi got to Jerusalem, they received this sign. They got to Jerusalem, they began to ask around. Matthew 2:2. They said, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And so somehow this star that they saw in the east, thousands of miles away, they connected this star with the birth of Christ. And they came all that long distance seeking Christ to worship him. You might wonder, well, how in the world would they ever have made such a connection? Star in the sky, Christ in Israel, how would they know that? And so to answer that, we must next consider the scriptures. Because long before Christ came into the world, the scriptures foretold his coming. And God chose the people of Israel to be his very own. He gave them the law. He gave them the sacrifices. He gave them the temple. He gave them the promises. All of these things pointed forward to Christ. And one of those early promises is recorded for us in the book of Numbers. Numbers 24:17, where it was prophesied, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And this promise was connected to an even earlier prophecy about this scepter that we find in Genesis 49:10, which says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. And you take these prophecies together, and what do they speak about? They speak about a ruler who will come out of Israel from the tribe of Judah, and to whom the obedience of all of the nations belongs. Now, in the Numbers prophecy, the star is just a symbol. It's symbolic of this ruler who's going to come. And yet it's easy to see how the Magi, as they studied the scriptures, may have related the image of the star in Numbers to this mysterious star in the east. as a sign that this king of the Jews, this promised king of the Jews, had finally been born into the world. And if, and this is so important, if the obedience of the nations was his, then this Christ was not only king of the Jews, but he was a king for all people, for all nations. And so it was appropriate that even these magi from a distant land should come all the way to worship him. So these may have been just some of the prophecies that the magi were familiar with. Now, the next question you ask is like, well, how did they know about the Jewish scriptures? They're 1,000 miles away. How would they know these things? If you go back to your Old Testament history and you think about the exile, Israel was unfaithful to God. They were not faithful to God or his covenant. What did God do? He scattered them among the nations. He sent them into exile. And as they went into exile, they would bring their scriptures with them. One of these places was Babylon, later conquered by the Persians. The prophet Daniel lived during this time, and he actually served as an advisor for both of the kingdoms, the Babylonian and the Persian kingdom. And some of the other advisors who worked along Daniel, you know what they were called? Magi. That's what they were, magi. And so whether or not it was Daniel who passed these teachings along, and then they were passed from magi to magi down, because of the exile, the Jewish scriptures had been spread out, and they were known in these other lands. And so the Magi had access to the prophecies of Scripture. And being astrologers, you know they would be particularly drawn to those passages in Scripture which spoke about stars. And they would have studied these and pondered these and wondered what they meant. And so then when a star suddenly appeared, that would be big news to them. Another messianic prophecy that may have influenced them would be Isaiah 60, which says this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Whatever scriptures they knew, we do know this, that somehow they were able to make the connection between the star they saw rising in the east and this ruler who was prophesied in the Old Testament. And so they traveled. And they made that long journey. And they came to worship him. So far we've considered the heavens, we've considered the scriptures, but if we're truly going to understand God's purpose in all this, next we must also consider the miracle. Because it is clear from Matthew that this was no ordinary star. This was a miraculous sign sent from heaven to mark the birth of God's Son. And the star was miraculous in at least two ways, maybe more, but at least two ways. First of all, the timing of the star was miraculous because the star appeared right at the time of Christ's birth. Matthew 2:7, we read this, that Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Why was it so important? Why did he want to know the exact time the star had appeared? Because he wanted to know how old Jesus was. He understood from all of this that the star had appeared when Jesus was born. If he knew exactly when the star appeared, he would know how old Jesus was. Why did he want to know how old Jesus was? Because he was going to look for this child to kill him. And in fact, when the Magi did not return to him as planned, we read in Matthew 2:16 that Herod was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. All we know from that is that it was less than 2 years. Maybe it was only 1 year. Herod wasn't taking any chances. He says, okay, I'll up it up to 2 years, and we'll take out anybody younger than that. He wanted to make sure this new king of the Jews was not born. So the timing of the star was miraculous. Secondly, the movement of the star was miraculous. Why? Because it started and it stopped and it pointed the way. Have you ever seen a star do that before? I never have. We know the Magi initially saw the star in the east and they made the connection to Christ. And so they made their way to Jerusalem. Now there's some question as you read it. It's hard to understand. Did the star lead them all the way from where they were to Jerusalem, or did they just see the star and then travel to Jerusalem? And then the star may have reappeared once they reached Jerusalem and led them the rest of the way to Bethlehem. But we do know this, as they traveled from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, Matthew 2:9, the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So you got to wonder, what in the world was this star? What was this amazing sign in the sky that God used to lead the wise men to Christ in Bethlehem? And over the years, there have been many attempts to identify the star. I'll give you the four most common explanations that you hear out there. The first is that it was a comet. And the early church father Origen was the first to suggest that the star may have been a comet. Well, if it was a comet, what comet was it? Well, Halley's Comet made an appearance in 12 BC. Couldn't have been that. That's too early for Christ's birth. Way too early. There was another comet that appeared for about 70 days around March or April of 5 BC. That's a lot closer to the time of Christ's birth. But it still does not explain the miraculous movement of the star towards Bethlehem. Also, you need to understand that comets, when they appeared, were usually signs that something bad was happening rather than something good was happening. So what is a comet? I don't know. Others have suggested that the star was really a conjunction of the planets. When planets come together, and that's considered a very strong sign when that happens, Johannes Kepler, one of the fathers of modern astronomy, he pointed to a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn that took place in 7 BC. It was later joined by Mars in February of 6 BC. You can see on the screen what that actually would have looked like. February 6 BC, if you looked up in the sky, you would see these three planets very close together. And you go, oh, that's something interesting. And so that might have been a sign that people would have said something interesting is happening. But the timing, once again, it's still not quite right. It doesn't explain the movement of the star. The planets wouldn't move anywhere. And even though they're very compact and they come together, they're very brief. They only last for a couple nights. But some people say maybe it was a conjunction of planets. Some people believe that it might have been a supernova. And that's actually what Kepler himself believed. He thought that they had seen a star that had gone supernova. And that's basically an exploding star. And it takes some time for a star to explode. It just doesn't go boom and it's over. But it just flares up and then it maintains that brilliance over a long period of time as there's a series of internal explosions going over and over again. The last supernova that we had here in our Milky Way, maybe some of you remember it. It took place in 1604. No, okay, none of you remember that. Is reported when that took place back in 1604, it was so bright that you could even see it during the daylight. That's how bright this supernova was. Now, the ancients sometimes got comets and novas confused. They would see a nova and they wouldn't know what it was. They would call it a comet without a tail. And there is a report of a tailless comet without a tail, in the year 4 BC. Well, that's right in the perfect time frame of what we're looking at. And so the timing is close, but it still doesn't account for the movement of the star, does it? Because it would just sort of stick there in the sky. And so the fourth and the final explanation, and this is the one that I actually lean to the most, is that the star was a manifestation of God's glory. Similar to the shining cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness, except much higher in the sky. And the benefit of this suggestion is that we actually have a biblical example of a shining object that started and stopped and guided people to a destination, don't we? The cloud in the desert. The only problem people sometimes have with this one is they wonder, well, then why did the Magi call it a star? And my answer is perhaps that was the only word they had available to describe what they were seeing. It looked like a star to them. We really cannot explain the Star of Bethlehem, but when all is said and done, I believe we have something much better than an explanation. We have a mystery. We have a miracle. And the miracle of the Star of Bethlehem is one of the many wonders of the story of Christmas that draws our hearts to worship our Lord Jesus each and every Christmas season. But even if we cannot fully explain the Star of Bethlehem, we are not left in the dark, intentional pun there, we're not left in the dark as to its purpose. Because God's purpose for the Star of Bethlehem was simply this. It was to point the Magi to Christ. God used the star to catch the Magi's attention, to bring them to Jerusalem. And it was there in Jerusalem that they received a fuller revelation of Christ from God's word, much fuller than simply you could get from a sign in the sky. And the teachers of the law opened the scriptures in Jerusalem, and they pointed the wise men to Bethlehem as the place of God's birth. Matthew 2, verses 3 through 6. King Herod called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And then we read that the star went on ahead of them to Bethlehem until it stopped right over the place where Christ was. Out of all the homes in Bethlehem, the star pointed out the specific place. And it's at this point in verse 10, Matthew 2:10, that we read, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And why were they overjoyed? Not so much because they saw the star. They'd been seeing the star for a while, but because the star had brought them to their goal. It had stopped over the place where Christ was. It had pointed them to the Messiah. And I would maintain for you this morning that this is still God's purpose for the star today. I don't think God wants us to get all hung up on the various attempts at trying to explain the star away or trying to figure it all out. But just as the purpose of a reading lamp is to shed light in the book that you're reading, or the purpose of a spotlight is just to show up the person who's on the stage, the purpose of the star is not the star itself, but the purpose of the star is to point us to Jesus Christ. And we should let the star do exactly that. What do we learn from the Star of Bethlehem this morning? We learn that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, that Jesus is the ruler who came out of Israel. We learn that the obedience of all of the nations belongs to him, that he is truly the Christ. You know, it's interesting, the Gospel of Matthew begins here in chapters 1 and 2 with foreigners from a distant nation coming to worship Christ. You know how the Gospel of Matthew ends? It ends in chapter 28 with Jesus' commission to the church to go out from Jerusalem and to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not only King of the Jews, but he is also the only Savior of the world. And so the star also has a missionary thrust. It is a reminder to us that we are to share the good news of Jesus with everyone, everywhere we can, both here where we live and around the world, among all of the nations. And we are to make disciples of all the nations as we point them to Jesus. So my final word for you this morning is simply this, that every time you see a star this Christmas, I encourage you to think about Jesus. When you place the star on your tree, remember Jesus. When you hear or sing those Christmas carols referencing the star, pause, stop, worship, and celebrate Jesus. When you think about the star and how it led the Magi to Christ, stop and ask God, God, with whom would you have me share the good news of Jesus this Christmas? Because that's what it all comes down to. Jesus is the reason for the season, and the purpose of the star is to point us to Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you for the miracle of the star, a star that led people from far away to come to Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would take that blessed privilege and opportunity to lead people who are far away from you this morning. Our neighbors, our friends, our family members who are far away from you because they do not know Jesus. And Lord, just like the star, may we point them to Christ. For he is Savior, he is King, he is Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.